big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
Alrighty, let's freaking go. Lock in, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Kelly hits the podium and shared something pretty interesting about Michael Van Buren at practice.
Get some more first-team reps, or is that not even something that, you know, like,
no, he got all first-team.
How's he approach that, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great opportunity for him. You know, we're going to give Garrett some time to rest here this week, make sure he's fully at 100%. And Michael got a lot of all the first team reps in articulation. So he did a great job. You know, he's still learning, but you know, as we said, we feel confident in his ability.
How much has Caden Durham been able to do this
week? He was better today, yeah. Much better. We ran him in our run tracks and some team run, did a better job. I would, if he continues on this path, I'm pretty optimistic that he'll be in good shape for next week.
And what exactly do Weston Davis and Paul Mabanga have going on injury-wise?
Weston got hurt in pregame. You know, caught a helmet, fractured his nose in pregame, and was concussed. So he had a head injury as well. He's moving forward. He's doing well. My expectations is that he can clear the protocol, but you know, that's one thing I never like to get into with the protocol in terms of who can and who can't. But he's moving in the right direction from that. Paul's got a high ankle sprain. So some respond better than others. He's an offensive lineman, as you know. Braylon had one as well. So we're gonna play it day by day.
All righty. So let's start off with the juice from the Brian Kelly presser. It's important to also note there wasn't a Monday press conference because they don't do Monday pressers going into a bye week. So there you go. Now, Michael Van Buren takes all the first team reps today. It means something, but not a whole lot. It really doesn't matter until next week, when you're really starting to install your South Carolina footage and your South Carolina game plan, and you're getting all of that together. And they probably already started some of that, but South Carolina is also coming off a bye week as well. So, you know, interesting that we are where we are right now with this team that all of us were so sky high on Garrett Nussmeier. And now this has been the most frustrating quarterback season I can remember in recent history. Now, we are in limbo. Do you want Michael Van Buren to start? This is a step in the right direction for LSU to start Michael Van Buren versus South Carolina. But this all comes down to me to the Monday press conference leading in to South Carolina. That'll tell us everything that we need to know about this current quarterback room. Now, this is what I will share about Garrett Nussmeier. Okay. I personally feel as if Garrett is hurting in more ways than one. I feel like there is a mental aspect that has taken a toll on him as far as this offensive structure, as far as not coming close to being in New York City for the Heisman Trophy, him not being as good as he was last year. It is rare for a quarterback with this much hype, having the season that he had last year, to regress to where we are right now, especially a week after the Southeastern game was as good as it was. And then there is the physical aspect. Sometimes football bodies break down, and the main focus is the midsection of Garrett Nussmeier. You can pause me all you want, but I'm talking directly to you right now as far as his injury is concerned. So LSU did have Garrett Nussmeier on a pitch count during the spring, all right? And there were some worries about his arm and all of that. But there has been this ab problem that Garrett has been dealing with. There has not been surgery. Okay, let's be clear. There has not been any type of truly deep medical procedure done on Garrett Nussmeier. But there was an ab problem. And if you listen closely to a lot of the national shows, they had always said, hey, there's something wrong with Garrett Nussmeier. If you listen closely to some of the stuff that we said going into the season, yeah, Garrett had a lower body injury. That lower body injury was okay. He was fine from that. But it was an overall rough offseason for Garrett leading into the season. That can happen, as many of you know. So now we're in the spot where Michael Van Buren is getting the first team reps, which is good for him. And at the same time, if you do start Michael Van Buren, there is no film on Michael Van Buren. Okay? There is no film. So you do have that extra bit of benefit if you were to play South Carolina, which does have a solid defense. Now, before we continue with the rest of the Brian Kelly press conference, let's talk about the Weston Davis injury. Okay? This injury has to be one of the most bizarre LSU injuries I can remember. To break something in your face during pregame and to also get concussed during pregame is truly insane. I don't think I can remember of a pregame injury as severe as that one. Now, something that does tend to happen in pregames is someone pulls a hammy. That is probably the most common pregame injury. I spoke to a physical doctor, a team doctor of a collegiate school, and he said that is somewhat common, that a player pulls a hamstring, turns an ankle, but what happened to him was obviously something physical. I had heard of all different things that had happened to Weston that actually happened in this pregame, but he's hurt, And I feel for him. All right. Imagine what he's going through right now, that he was already struggling. Couldn't block a soul. One of the lowest graded PFF players that we've ever had. And he's getting ready to play versus Ole Miss on the road, and boom. That has to suck in a major way. So now you're in a spot, if you're Weston Davis, if Carius Kern plays better in his second game, which you would like to think, hopefully, because he will be at home, but he will be going up against Dylan Stewart in a better defensive line in South Carolina. Maybe Weston Davis never gets his job back, or maybe he comes back and we move Carius Kern to a different spot. I really feel terrible for him. I also feel terrible, and this does not absolve me from this, and I always want this to be clear, that I am willing, when I criticize a player, I am...
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Willing to take what comes with criticizing an individual player while at the same time understanding that I want to be positive of players. Anything that I say is nothing personal against any player. So it pains me when you say that Weston Davis has been as bad as he's been this season. Okay. So I feel really, really, really bad for Weston Davis, that this season has been already a nightmare, and now you are concussed, which can really screw with you as an offensive lineman. We continue, though, with the Brian Kelly press conference from earlier today. In fact, I'll move it back just a little bit just to make sure we are all on the same page.
He can clear the protocol, but, you know, that's one thing I never like to get into with the protocol in terms of who can and who can't. But he's moving in the right direction from that. Paul's got a high ankle sprain. So some respond better than others. He's an offensive lineman, as you know. Braylon had one as well. So we're going to play it day by day.
Hey, you had said that you didn't like the game plan last week.
Well, listen, context.
Okay.
I didn't like parts of the game plan because for me, you know, we have to be able to have answers for drop eight. And we did. We had answers, but we needed to do more of it. And, you know, at 86% three down drop eight, you got to have some other answers. And so that's what I didn't like about the game plan, is that we needed more answers.
During the game?
Yes.
Right.
Got
you. Kind of going off of Weston's situation, Carius Newton, I think you said 22 minutes before that he was going to start. Just as you've gone back and look at the film, what did you think about the job that Carius did and his opportunities going forward?
He reminded me of Emory Jones as a true freshman. If you remember, Emory technically was not very sound, but he was fighting for dear life and was really active, had a lot of hustle errors, but he's hustling and playing physical. It's just, you know, it's hard to be a technician at this point. So we're going to take what we can get from him. And that's, you know, hard play, physical play, can move some people.
Coach, have you seen any benefit in developing, I guess, some short yardage situations for Michael Van Buren or just developing his role during the bye week?
Yeah, we have that package in. We have short yardage runs for quarterbacks. It's just, I'm not going to take Garrett Nussmeier out of the game to run short yardage. So we've predicated all that on, you know, the type of formations that we run in short yardage, and we gear it towards our quarterback. If he's not our quarterback, we have some different answers if it's Michael.
All right. So I do think, and kudos to the reporter. If someone could tell me who the reporter was, let me know. Because as you know, I always want to show love to someone that asked a really good question, because that was pretty illuminating. Okay. So I am of the belief that you can change your opinion as the season moves forward. All right. So going into the year, I was really high on Garrett Nussmeier. I'm not afraid to admit it. A lot of people were. And I don't think he's played as badly as some of these other quarterbacks who have truly failed their expectations. Like DJ Lagway has been atrocious. Kate Klubnik has been atrocious. Arch Manning, atrocious. Okay. Even with the injury excuse, that does heavily affect Garrett Nussmeier. He's not been as good as we thought he was going to be. The Clemson game was great. Southeastern game was great. Louisiana Tech was what it was. Same thing you could say about Florida. And Ole Miss became a disaster. All right. But it's also strange that Brian Kelly said that, hey, we do have a short yardage package for our backup quarterback, for someone that is a little faster at the QB position. Now, let's talk about speed and rushing at the QB position. What really annoys me, and I do think this is very critical, and I've not gotten more information on this because it is relatively sensitive. It is so important going into every season knowing who really needs to redshirt and who doesn't. Because a redshirt is very valuable to someone like Michael Van Buren, who is a quarterback that will more than likely never have really high NFL draft prospects. That fifth season for him is very valuable. That's a huge, huge, huge amount of money that he would be making in his final year of college football. And he wasn't able to redshirt last year. But, you know, I hope there wasn't a time where LSU said, look, we need to try our best to redshirt Michael Van Buren if he was your top quarterback this whole time backing up Garrett Nussmeier. And I hope that doesn't factor into what Brian Kelly just admitted to this reporter. Once again, someone tell me her name. I'd love to shout her out, have her on if she wanted to come on. But, and I'm looking at you right now, just because Garrett Nussmeier is your QB1 does not mean that he needs to play every single play. And if you think Michael Van Buren and the short yardage packages that you just admitted that you were putting into the fold, you don't play him because you think Garrett is that good that you don't want to take him off the field. And I've said that as well. If Garrett is playing so, so, so well, let's just not force a quarterback into action just for the sake of having speed on the field. But that's not what's happened. Number one, our short yardage game has not been good. And number two, Garrett hasn't been so good that it takes away the idea of putting someone out there in short yardage situations that could give you an advantage. All right. So it is time to get rid of the notion that if Garrett is a quarterback, we want him out there on every single play. Okay. So Jace Max thinks the tougher questions need to be answered. So let's go to the rest of the Brian Kelly press conference. One thing that was interesting is that this was the shortest Brian Kelly press conference of the year. I don't know all the reporters that were there. That obviously varies the length of the press conference. This was a tougher time for reporters also to go to a press conference, but we do continue.
That's good. We can make this short.
What is your main goal that you want to accomplish with your team during this open date?
Well, it's like anybody's goal. You want a little bit of recovery. You want guys to, you know, focus on their academics, catch up in the classroom. And then let's go to work on the things that we need to be better at. And our biggest thing is the details. You know, when we have the details down, our attention to detail, and we have focus on each play, we're pretty darn good. The problem is we can't keep it long enough. We get distracted, and that's what we're working on this week.
Not to belabor the point on Nuss, but did he aggravate that ab strain at any point before or during the game against Ole Miss?
No. Maybe? No.
I think I know what you're going to say, but the ruling that has come out on the single window transfer portal, you've been a proponent of it. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I take it you're probably pleased with. Are you pleased with all the elements of it, or what you've seen?
Yeah, Scott. Here's what I would tell you, and this is the honest truth. You know, we're putting this model together at 35,000 feet, right? And nobody has a blueprint for this per se. So what we were looking for is progress, and the progress is we got it down to one window. Will it always stay there? I don't know, but it just made sense that 120 teams or so, right, would not be affected because they're not in the playoffs, or, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, that date. And the top, you know, 10 programs in the country have to do a lot of juggling. So this was to try to make some progress. We made the progress with the one window. Now we can set our rosters. And the guys that are here can't be opting out after spring ball saying that they didn't get enough playing time, right? So we've got that, which helps us in this model. I think there's still room for more progress, but this was the important piece, is to get to the one window. And although not perfect, I think it meets what we need at this step. Good. All right. Thank you.
All right. That was it. I don't think all the reporters were there, to be honest. And normally with these midweek ones, it gets tough. We had Jacques Doucet on last week, and he talked about that. But yeah, you know, I understand that you want more information on Brian Kelly. I do think one interesting question would have been, if you needed to play a game today, who would start? Do you feel comfortable with Michael Van Buren as a starter? What are some things he could do differently than Garrett Nussmeier? I mean, those are some questions. I've not been in the scrum in forever, but no Halsey or Gooden without the spring portal, though. One could say LSU or Miami benefited the most from the spring portal window. Okay. So, since it was asked by Scott Rabelais, I will bring it up here as well. And before I continue, I don't like to bring the mood down. Okay. Scott's colleague, Wilson Alexander, lost his wife to cancer. Okay, so I feel really bad. I'm not close with Wilson. We've talked a few times. You know, he is a phenomenal reporter, and I'm missing his coverage right now for The Advocate, but there are a lot of deeper things going on. And if I remember correctly, I'd have to, you know, go back and look at the timelines. I think his wife was at MD Anderson when my father-in-law was at MD Anderson, and he also passed away. So Wilson, if for some reason you're watching this, just know everybody here at PHL has your back. And she herself, Alice, was a really good reporter. So, but we move on. You know, as far as like the spring portal and winter portal window is concerned, I'm not a fan of the single portal window. I'm just not. And in particular, I am not a fan of it from LSU's vantage point. If I was Georgia and I had Kirby Smart's high school recruiting and I had Kirby Smart's overall eye for talent and development for talent, I would feel more comfortable with just one window. But for me personally, one thing that I think about quite a bit as far as portal windows are concerned, especially from the LSU side of things, is that LSU has not done a great job with high school talent acquisition. Well, actually, excuse me, they've done well with that, but eyeing that talent and developing that talent, it has been a big problem. For example, it was very interesting when you look at the recruiting class that was very much lauded by quite a few pundits, which was the LSU 2023 recruiting class. All right. And this class was really, really, really good. So I want to show it to you. And this is really mind-blowing. And it shows you where we are right now in the world of college football. So I'm scrolling through this class right now, the 2023 high school football recruiting class. And one thing really stands out. Ole Miss had as many impact players in the game from our recruiting class to what we had in the game for our own team. They had Deshaun Womack, and we had Whit Weeks. Now, in this game, Kyle Parker had an impact. He was a part of the recruiting class. Caleb Jackson was a part of this game. He had a pretty big drop. And then, of course, you had Dylan Carpenter. He also played in this game. Struggled. This was his first ever real game as a defensive end, and I'm cheering for him. The Louisiana three stars, as you guys know, I always cheer for. And then you also had Ashton Stamps, who, you know, has had a brutal season, but he was very active and cheering on the sidelines. Okay. So that's where we are. And then, of course, Paul Mbenga also played, and he hurt his ankle. And when he was healthy in the game, he wasn't really that great. Then you had Tyree Adams, who was fine in that game. So I would say we had two impact players from this class, and Ole Miss had one. Now, you guys know I am big on building from the portal. Absolutely, positively big on it, especially now, because we are not doing a good job developing the high school players, and we're also not doing a good job of not only developing them, but getting them mentally ready for the stage that they are on. All right, it's just the truth. And I, you know, when you say something like that, it gets angry messages, and that's fine. But, you know, I also owe it to the audience here to be completely honest with you as far as that is concerned. If you look historically, the best teams, the championship teams, have players from the recruiting class 2 years prior as the engine of your real championship teams. You look at the all-time great LSU teams, the best of the best. They all had killer recruiting classes from 2 years prior. Now, it's technically year three players. But you take a look at 2019 LSU. Joe Burrow was not a high school recruit. Ja'Marr Chase was from the next recruiting class. But that 2017 recruiting class is the best in LSU football history. From Justin Jefferson as the lowest ranked recruit to the highest ranked recruit, which was Jacoby Stevens. And then depending on which service you looked at, there's a few other really good ones. They had three stars that were developed into first round picks. They also had five stars that were developed into really good players as well. We have got to do better. We've got to do better. There's just not enough guys that had some promising starts. For instance, a guy like Caleb Jackson, as Sourdough Man astutely brings out in the chat, it's got to be better. It's just got to be better. Okay? It is so important. Now, here's the thing. What we did in the offseason as far as getting guys on our staff that want to make our transfer portal operation better, we did a really good job of that. And I'm excited that guys like Kelvin Bolden and Jeff Martin, and then all the way up to Austin Thomas, I'm excited about what those guys are going to do for our program moving forward. But what those guys are doing behind the scenes, as important as it is and as important as their NIL operation has been, it is nothing if you don't have the guys at the top that can get us to where we need to be. And right now, you are right to be very skeptical that the guys at the top aren't getting us to where we need to be. And it's kind of the same thing we have said about what has happened throughout the Southeastern Conference. So I tweeted something out earlier today on my personal account, Carter the Power, and it was simple. I don't want Tony Vitello to leave Tennessee baseball. Why? Because he makes the SEC better, right? I like the fact that Tony V, everybody hates him. I love that, okay? I love that. And it's always going to make you sharper that there are guys out there whose head coach is in the vicinity of the greatness of your head coach, which is Jay Johnson, of course, who's the best. And for me, you look at the SEC right now, the coaching is so damn good. It is so damn good. And we have a College Football Hall of Famer leading us. It is time for Brian Kelly to take his game to the next level. All right. I want to bring up a few examples. So for my patrons and Discordians, you know, I've been talking about doing an example of coaching mistakes that are on Brian Kelly's shoulders when it comes to the actual game-to-game operation, all right? And I will save this for patrons and our YouTube members. There was a massive blown call in the LSU-Ole Miss game that nobody's talking about, all right? I pick and prod every single game, in particular the ones that we lose, to find something that I feel could give us an advantage. And it's more important on the road because while I don't have this data in front of me, and by the way, it's not data. You really have to just sit and watch the games. The truth is when you're on the road in the SEC, the judgment 50-50 calls do not go your way a good bit of the time. They just don't. OPIs, DPIs, they don't go your way. And that actually happened in this game versus LSU and Ole Miss. There were a few DPIs that didn't go our way, and there was a few times where Chris Hilton was abused and they didn't call it. But there is a blown call that could be heavily affected by a coach clamoring about it. It's also a blown call that can be stopped and somewhat reviewed. It can't technically be reviewed, but it can be congregated with. And that'll be dropped tomorrow on the Patreon. We also shared a huge special teams coaching mistake that Brian Kelly can control that happened in the game. That was also somewhat out of his control, okay? But outside of that, we are missing some elite coaching right now. It's not been elite. It's been okay, right? It's been okay. If you were to give a PFF grade on Brian Kelly's coaching job this season at LSU, it would be a 60, which is baseline. It's fine at this point. It's not great. It's not great. Now, this is a pretty wild way to comment for the first time from legendary CEO. I don't even know if I want to say that publicly. But I'll do it. I don't think I could get canceled for this. Brian Kelly climaxed in 2017. Okay. Now, in the history of pauses, that's not just a pause. That is a full stop. That is a throw your computer into the LSU lakes type of comment. The fact that you typed this mail climaxed. What are we doing here? Okay. PHL sponsored by Brazzers. What the hell is that? All righty. We're going to get to Sourdough Man's comment here after this quick break. As far as Caleb Jackson is concerned, should we be using him more? Speaking of partners, let's talk to the partners that really keep us afloat here on PH.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you. It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. All righty, for my patrons, that film study will be for you in your inbox tomorrow morning, patrons and members. So I got a few texts saying, what did you say it? I actually from a patron, but it was pretty big. I was shocked that I didn't see it. I was live when it actually happened, but there you go. Now, let's go to Sourdough Man talking about Caleb Jackson. What happened to Caleb Jackson? I first off want to commend Caleb for sticking this out, for not transferring. He would have generated a lot of interest in the portal as a running back who had some good success in 2023 as a true freshman. But it's honestly hard to really explain what happened. Okay. If anything indeed happened, his freshman season did have some health problems, but he's been mostly healthy since then. He's just not developed. Athletically, he's about what you want. He's a thicker running back. You guys know I like thicker running backs. He's got elite speed, but it's just not clicking. And I'll tell you this right now, with the way Caleb runs, it would not be a good fit for this offense anyway. All right. Mike, a longtime patron, define climax for us uninformed folks. Okay. I'll do it. I'll do it the best way that I possibly can. And if you keep up with the news, you'll be able to you could decipher this for yourself. All right. Former Seattle Seahawks running back Sean Alexander has climaxed at least 14 times in his life. And I'll leave it at that. Leonard Fournette is coming back for his senior season, says legendary CEO. Okay, good. Alexander said, we could have had Mekhi Hughes from Tulane in the portal. Good thing he's redshirting right now. Yeah, and so he was a Tulane transfer, and I tweeted this out, and then it's gotten some blowback as well. He quit on the team today. He's redshirting this season. He didn't go on the road versus Penn State. He's only played 4 games, and this is starting to get very old. Now, could he transfer to us and actually be our RB1 next year? Sure. Yeah, obviously heavily tied to the state of Louisiana, but I still stand by this. I don't think we're in a healthy spot where, you know, he fell behind some other running backs in the Oregon rotation. He's played four games up to this point. I just don't like this. I just don't like, hey, I'm healthy, but I'm going to preserve my red shirt for the sake of my future. That really hurts the team. And I understand what the kid is doing. It makes perfect sense. But at the same time, it's a strange thing. Like it's a weird rule that honestly makes very little sense. But Oregon wants to keep him around because you get to have him as another depth piece. Where I lose a little extra sympathy for Hughes in his instance. And once again, if you want to come to LSU, come right on ahead. But this is more so just a public thing. He's already redshirted. He redshirted in 2022, but it was for a medical reason. So you're getting 6 years of theoretical eligibility. And I just think you should get five maximum. So that's what's being discussed right now in college football, or just in college sports in general. Should we move it to where it's a fifth year of eligibility and you have 5 years to play five? You get a full five. I will tell you this, if that rule was put in place this year, we would benefit so freaking much from that. And I'm glad you brought that up, Alexander, because I brought this up on the Sunday stream, but I want you to look at this, and Jace Max is probably going to clip this right now. There is one big, big, big reason why you should really cheer for this year's LSU Tiger team. So there are quite a few LSU Tigers that transferred in, and they had this option and this decision to quit on us before the Ole Miss game. And there were four players in particular that are playing their fourth year of eligibility in four seasons. I'll go through four of them. Monsoor Delane, Jack Pyburn, Berrion Brown, and A.J. Halsey. All right, they're playing their fourth year of eligibility in four seasons. All right, let's just say they were to quit. But they went to the coaching office and they went to Ole Miss and they quit. And they said, look, I want to go in the portal and play another season. Their inboxes, all of them, would have had 30 offers. And each one of them are getting no less than $250,000 from all those schools. Halsey's getting at least $1 million. Delane's getting at least $1 million. He's going to be a first-round pick. So it's not as much him as it is the other three who won't have as much draft buzz. It is truly awesome that they decided to do that. Now, whatever they inked before the season with LSU might have a lot to do with them not deciding to do that. But the truth is, it is truly incredible that this awesome thing that 0.1% of all high school athletes get to do, which is playing the SEC, that they are putting this year's team above their own personal gain. Because they gain a lot. And guess what? We could have gained a lot. We could have said, hey, just come back for the next year's team. So to those four, I thank you. All right? I thank you. I really, really, really do appreciate you guys coming out and just kicking ass and playing well. And obviously all four of those guys have played well. In particular, Delane and Halsey have been like all SEC level good, and Pyburn's been very good, and Berrion's been pretty good. So there you go. Yeah, Pegasus. I know it's different for different people, but you should still commend it, right? I don't care whatever reason that the Oregon running back decided to do. It's just you don't get that. And if there is one thing you could say about Brian Kelly is that the guys do, for the most part, buy in. They do buy in. There have been so many players at LSU over these past couple of seasons that it would have made a lot of sense that they would have transferred already. But they're here. Okay. Let's go to Chance. LSU went all in on the portal this year, building up the defense, only to have their fifth-year quarterback be the weakest link. Yeah, I can't let that go. Whatever I say gets labeled as Garrett Homerism. He's not the weakest link, though. I can't get there. Now, is he the link that heavily influences the outcome of the game more than anyone else? Yeah, sure. Okay. But, you know, I also want to shine a light on the positive, some of the positives of LSU season, of where we are right now. Garrett, for the most part, has been mostly negative. It's just the truth. And I would agree with that, but I won't say he's the weakest link. I just won't. I do think, though, Michael Van Buren, even if it is just for one game, I think versus South Carolina in particular, he's going to come out and play really well if he's a guy. I do think so. But some of the things about South Carolina that we've seen up to this point, South Carolina can't really run the football. They can't. That doesn't mean they don't have a ridiculous amount of talent when it comes to the actual rushing game with Sellers and Rashul Faison. Okay. Now, I'm not really dove deep on South Carolina's team just yet. I won't do that until the weekend. But this is obviously a good team that is like us. They only have one loss. They played really well in a Kentucky victory. But Kentucky's the worst team in the SEC. No, South Carolina very well could win this game. I'm not saying that. That's not what I said. I didn't say, I don't know what you were referencing. So there we go. Okay, so true story, Jason. I was getting my hair cut earlier today. And this lady doesn't cut my hair a whole lot. And she's younger. She's 23. Her name is Saber. Okay. And Saber was cutting my hair. And she asked me, hey, I heard you did stand-up comedy before. And I did. And I said I performed in New York City at Comic Strip Live, which is where Jerry Seinfeld got his start. She had no idea who he was. I said, yeah, Eddie Murphy also got a start there. No clue. Literally, deer in the headlights. And I was like, yeah, I am about to file for AARP. This is insane. Like, it was, and she was like, what was it, a big deal? And I was like, yeah, it's the biggest comedy ever outside of, what, MASH, maybe? I'm not saying it's better than MASH, but so, yeah, I mean, that's where we are. It's what we're going to go through for the Super Bowl halftime show. What the hell is a bad bunny? No habla español. I think it's going to be great. I think Bad Bunny's going to be great. As a wedding DJ, when I play the Spanish stuff, it always hits. One song that always hits when I mix Gasolina with anything. Gasolina hits hard, bro. Hits hard. No, say my friend Saber, she did not know Jerry. She did not know Jerry. Let's go to Slim and Sammy. I thought Brian Kelly was supposed to be an offensive lineman and tight end guru, or he is. It's just not gone well. It's just not. I mean, both positions have been big, and I will be honest. And this obviously turned into an intense debate on Blake's show and on my show on Sunday, but I have been appalled by our tight end play. It's been really bad. We've heard every excuse for Bauer Sharp and the Butterfingers in the first quarter of these games. And I give him credit for making the touchdown saver versus Clemson after the fumble. But catch the damn ball. catch the damn ball. All right, please. Please catch the damn ball. And Tre'Davious Green, please quit drifting on your outs. And block better. Okay? Well, Bauer Sharp knocked him over, and that's why he held Sage Ryan. Let go. Let go. I know it's hard, but don't pull guys to the ground. But, you know, I want to start clipping some positive stuff out there. And if I missed any other guys that are playing their year four of college football now, then so be it. Okay. Now, I posted this as a poll on Twitter, and we'll bring this up for a full stream tomorrow. Do you think, whoever you are watching this right now, should we get rid of the number 7 and number 18 traditions? I'm going to be clear. I do not want to get rid of it. But I do get asked quite a bit in the Discord. Hal has asked me a few times, and I publicly asked on Twitter, should we get rid of it? Should we do away with this? Because Garrett's obviously not had a good season. He's wearing the number 18. Harold Perkins is one the number 7. And the season has been up and down for him. You know, you tell me. I think it's a way harder sell to get rid of 18. I don't think you could get rid of that. Number 7, though, you could talk me into. You could talk me into. Let's go to Jason Max. Your honest opinion on Joe Sloan getting fired after this year or not. So this is the hardest thing in life. It is the hardest thing to do in life. And in coaching, it is harder than anything else. It's getting out in front of something you think that will decline. Now, that is way more important in the NFL than it is in college. Way more important. And the best in the NFL are good at getting out in front of things. Look at where the Eagles are and look at where the Cowboys are. And just that idea is the difference between those two franchises. It really is that. Honestly, a lot of things come down to simple philosophical questions. Are we getting in too early or are we getting in too late? Okay. Going back to that C word that someone brought out. Are you getting out too early or are you keeping in too late? Okay. If you want to go, you can get as deep as you want, but that is one of life's most important questions. Okay. So let's talk about what T-Bob brought up. And T-Bob has an open invite to come on PHO whenever he wants. He can come whenever he wants. Pause. I really didn't try and do a pause there. It just happened. But, and then now I'm going to clip that and send it to him. And then it actually might get him on here. But super busy guy. I should have got him on before he has this 2 a.m. barstool schedule. But obviously I'm a big fan of T-Bob. And he set a Twitter storm on fire. We touched on this on Sunday with AYS, and I'll bring it up here again. The handling of Mike Dimbrock and Joe Sloan. Okay. So I shared what I knew about it at the time, and I also shared that LSU was really high on Joe Sloan going forward, and a lot of that had to do with, I'll just say it, Bryce Underwood's recruitment. His recruiting style is really good for quarterbacks. He's done a hell of a job recruiting quarterbacks. Won't get one for 2026, but he's got Peyton Houston on board for 2027. And he was ready for Joe Sloan to be co-OC at the very least, and Dimbrock was ready to move back. So it was more of a mixture. There was a divorce there. Okay, there's a divorce. And for me, Dimbrock was so good. He was so good. And it was more than just Jaden Daniels was his quarterback. Because the big narrative at that time, and I believe this narrative as well, because if Jaden Daniels is your quarterback, he's going to make every offensive coordinator look good, especially how he plays. He's very offensive coordinator friendly because he's so damn good at so many different things. Okay. But it was interesting, the discussion at that time. And then Joe Sloan called a really good game versus Wisconsin. And now we are here. So now you have to ask the question, how many games has Joe Sloan OC'd where you've said, man, that was a well-called game. That was a well-thought-out game plan. And the answer is not many. And then you have to also answer this question. If you were to move on from Joe Sloan, who could you get to replace him? The answer is infinite. Everybody wants his job. Everybody would want to be the offensive coordinator at LSU. You mean to tell me that I can go get a play caller and tell him, hey, you want to coach Jamar Chase's? You want to coach Malik Nabers? We have those guys almost every year. And you're getting no less than $2 million a year to come here to call plays. Now, it's expensive, but you can go get quite a few people just depending on the style of offense you want to run. And I have a list that I keep on what I would do there. But right now, we're really struggling. It's the second most important thing you do as a head coach before every season. It's who is your quarterback? That's number one. Who is your OC? And who is your DC? Those are the three most important things. Tari says Perkins having an up and down year. I disagree, and so does PFF. Oh, really? Have you checked PFF's grades? His coverage grades have not been great. They've not been great. Now, has Harold Perkins mostly been good to very good this year? Yeah. But there have been some downs as well. There have been some downs. And it's okay to admit that. Anytime you talk anything about Harold Perkins, whether it's good or bad, it's met with a lot of criticism. But what I would ask you to do, Tari, is to ask yourself, and it's not all Perk's fault here, but for some reason, a lot of the wide-open throws that we give up in the pass game, they're thrown in the direction of the field where Harold Perkins is lined up. It's not his fault, but it's just something. It's something that anybody could see. And it's hard. It's hard. But, you know, there was quite a few of those in the Clemson game, too, and they didn't take advantage of it. No, it was Dimbrock that called the plays for JD. They should. Patrick Queen's an outstanding gentleman. All right. And I don't like to say that about people because I me and PQ aren't close. He's been on the channel before in person. But I will say his family is outstanding. I'll put it like that. A lot of new roads, connections there. And also, PFF's not the be-all, end-all. Good or bad. I'll tell you this. PFF is getting absolutely attacked on the NFL level. Really badly, might I add. There's a lot of truth to that, Tari. I think that game plan had a lot of collaboration, if you will. But then again, they also planned for that for months. Let's see. LSU Gymnastics at Media Day. I'm really excited about them. Won the Natty 2 years ago. Had another good season. I think Haley Bryant's a coach there now. I'm a Haley Bryant stan. Their tight end's really good. I don't know if he's like Rob Gronkowski good. He's good, though. He's really, really, really good. Lewoski wants to get into some gap schemes. Well, duo's a gap scheme, so we need to stop duo, zone, and combo blocking schemes and run trap, power, and wedge. Yeah, we can't block outside zone. We just can't do it. That's my favorite run play. It's if I started an offense today, I would base everything out of outside zone. I freaking love outside zone. But after watching it as much as I've watched it this year, we can't run it. And it makes me want to, if I ever become an OC, which I would love to do it, it would take me like 2 years of really trying to understand play calling. But we can't block outside zone. So there you go. All right, we'll take a few more here and we'll get a super chat. No super chats tonight. That's okay. When you're losing, people do not. I never like to skip them, though. That's a problem. Dude, Josh Thompson has taken some nasty criticism, and it's warranted. It's not been pretty. But has he been better than our left guard? Yeah. Has he been better than our right tackle? Yeah. It's also interesting that if you were to label the positions that have really struggled for LSU this season, it's been those three. And then center has been very good. Ole Miss was kind of tough for Braylon. And then at left tackle, it's been fine. Best scenario is 10-2. Yeah, LSU could go 10-2. If LSU were to go unbeaten the rest of the way, Brian Kelly is hands down the coach of the year. And you've also gotten extremely lucky in results. That's the thing, you know. I feel better about winning games if we have the offense we had in 2023 and the defense we had in 2023, compared to having an elite defense and a not so great offense. And you know, LSU released a clip from their LSU Plus of Brian Kelly's post-game locker room speech where he called out the offense saying we can't have double the amount of plays on offense and expect our defense to hold up. And I'm paraphrasing what BK said. And then he also said, meanwhile, we can't keep giving up third and fourth downs like we did. Okay. I felt that was sound. And then some said, well, why would you even criticize the defense at all? Well, go watch your defensive breakdown. We did an hour-long defensive breakdown where I didn't understand some of the things that Blake Baker did. And at the same time, so many of Ole Miss's conversions were given because we did not line up properly and we did not know what the hell we were doing. We had a major communication problem. And like I've always said, I do not mind DJ Pickett getting beat to the outside or PJ Woodland getting beat to the outside in one-on-ones. If they make those jump ball types of plays, you tip their hat. All those reps were mostly competitive. The problem is when you have pitch and catch touchdowns and key fourth down conversions and key third down conversions, there was no less than five of them that of Ole Miss's conversions, which was about 10, I don't have the exact number in my head, there was at least five where it was drop back, throw to the open guy. And I'm not talking about the third and 14 or drop back, wide open rush lane. And we can go through all of them right now, but we're winding down here. Yeah, the West Week's rough in the past, so you just can't hit him in that spot. Is it soft? Yeah, it's very soft. But I'll go through them really quickly. Obviously, the end fourth down conversion was bad. The end of the half touchdown was bad. The third and five pivot route to number 17 was bad. Okay. Now I'm drawing a blank. There's a third and eight where I think Deshaun Spears was lined up on the wrong side. We pushed Cooley all the way back. He was standing in Ponchatoula. That's how far back he was. Pitch and catch, once again, to number 17. Then he had a third and 11 scramble where we lost our pass rush lane integrity and Whit Weeks was left alone to make a tackle, and he couldn't bring it down. It was a tough play. There was also a third and six run where Patrick Payton was able to – he was there to make a play, and he couldn't do it. But, you know, I don't – like I've said a thousand times, the third and 14 throw was a really good throw. I don't mind that you gave that up. I really don't. It's just make it competitive. Make it difficult for them to convert. No. I don't think the edges are the weakest part of this defense. I really don't think there is a position on this defense you can characterize as weak because we were really, really, really good against the run this year, which is, to me, it used to be opposite. It used to be it's more important for the ends to rush the QB than it is to stop the run. I think that's changed a little bit. And Jack Pyburn is as good as it gets at stopping the run at defensive end. And Peyton's also done a really good job of that as well. It's just when those guys weren't in, we gave up some pretty big runs. Let's go to Sourdough, man. I believe we let the Ole Miss game get away. And by the way, thank you so much. The offense struggled in this game, like most games. MVB didn't get a couple series. It didn't use all your weapons, and their D didn't prepare for him. Yes, let's start with the second half. I totally agree with you on we'll never know if we win that game if Michael Van Buren comes in. But the answer is more than likely not, but we won't know. Should we have made the switch? What I would have done is given Garrett the first series of the third quarter and then make the switch. I believe we let the Ole Miss game get away. I can't get there. I really can't. As much as I love it, and as much as I love this being the first super chat, but you want me to give you my honest opinion. They outgained us by close to 200 yards. They have one more yard per play than we had. Holding them to 5.8 is really good, but us having only 4.8 yards per play is bad. Okay. They committed a hell of a lot of penalties to give us a chance to go win the game. But yeah, it's frustrating. It's very, very, very frustrating. Okay. But I think it's pretty clear now that Brian Kelly has a massive Lane Kiffin problem. He has a massive, massive, massive Lane Kiffin problem.
This year, brutally outcoached. Last year, let's be real, Ole Miss should have won that game. But we had some guys step up in a major way. Then a few years ago, 2023 happened, and they put up 49 on us. And 4 years ago, they jumped out to a pretty big lead, overthrew a walk-in touchdown that would have made it a bigger lead, and then we came back. He has a Lane Kiffin problem in that we are so woefully unprepared to start games versus Ole Miss. We are so woefully unprepared, which is sickening because last year we had a bye week. Ole Miss was playing their seventh game in 7 weeks. This past year, we were coming off of Southeastern, and they were coming off of Tulane. All right, Tulane was a game that you actually do have to prepare for. Southeastern, you don't have to show up. We win that game with a walk-on quarterback. But Garrett was phenomenal, and we blew him out. So it's not as if you're – it would be one thing if you start slow if you had played South Carolina the week before. Yes and no. I will say Thompson's in a really tough spot as well to succeed. I mean, it's always difficult to succeed if the guy to your right is struggling, and it's difficult when the guy to your right is struggling if the guy to your left is struggling on the offensive line. Now, I wouldn't say MVB is a burner as a runner. It's not – that's not really it. He just has a little bit more than one would think. The one thing I do like about him, though, is he does keep his eyes down the field when he breaks the pocket. So he wants to be a passer first, but he does give you something. No one, welcome to the channel. We're just going to hurt it more and hurt ourselves at this point. Yeah. There you go. Now, I appreciate each and every one of you. But we do have to skedaddle. Once again, special thanks to Sourdough Man, the only super for now. I don't think we have any Venmo's Cash Apps. That's all good. Once again, Michael Van Buren took all the first team reps. Okay. What a freaking day. What a freaking day. Okay, I saw someone answer the ask about the Harold Perkins thing. Okay. It would be easier to not have him fan out in coverage if he was playing one of the two linebacker spots, okay? The two traditional off-ball linebacker spots. But he's playing a spot now that in the modern game is used by an actual DB. Ole Miss is one of the teams
that could punish you by doing that because they throw the football really well. South Carolina is not going to punish you as much because, well, their quarterback is more of a runner than a thrower. And they don't have as many good receivers as South Carolina, or as Ole Miss does, and their play caller is not as good as Ole Miss's is. So it's not something you should be overly concerned about. It's just when you play better passing offenses, what they're going to do is make sure the slot wide receivers line up on his side to make you fan him out. All right, so you can watch a defensive breakdown. We go deeper into it. But, you know, it's more technical than that. It's a lot, and it's above my knowledge, if you will. But it's also a simple math equation. And you don't even need to go watch my breakdown. I hope you do, because it's good for the channel. Defensive breakdowns don't do as well as offensive breakdowns, in particular after a bad game, a game that you lose. But go watch the breakdowns, or just go watch the actual footage, and you'll see how many coverage busts were on that side. Okay? Love your breakdowns. Pause. That's not a pause. The climax was a pause of the century. I know y'all gonna clip that T-Bob thing. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight. Well, actually, I don't know what tonight is. So this is speaking of. Haley texted me earlier today, or she called me earlier today, and she said, it's a surprise tonight. It is a surprise tonight. Yeah, she really said it was a surprise, whatever she's making. I don't know. Well, we'll see. We'll see what she's talking about. Oh, man. Love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow at 6. Let's go.